fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-yo, Silver, the Lone Ranger. With his faithful Indian companion, Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse, Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, big fellow. I am Silver.
Rain lashed the roof of the old cabin in which the Lone Ranger and Tonto had taken refuge just before a stormy night closed over the mountains. Serpent tongues of lightning forked out of the ink-black sky, and thunder cannonaded through the nearby peaks. Inside the hut, it was warm and light. Logs burned in a crumbling fireplace, and a candle burned on a makeshift table. As the Indian prepared a meal, the masked man inspected a placard that was tacked on the wall.
Hello. Says this place is the property of the Jurgens and Hall Mining Company of Tuckerville.
Well, that same fella who got new claim notices stuck on places we passed by.
Yes. They restaked a lot of claims that were worked out and abandoned years ago.
Maybe somebody make a new strike.
Geologists say it wouldn't pay to dig for what little gold is left around here.
And why anybody want old claims?
Maybe Jurgens and Hall have laid the groundwork for some kind of fraud. We'll look into it.
Hello in there.
Me open door.
I'm lost. I saw your light. What is this?
I'm in and close the door.
Yes. Guess I'll have to get in out of the storm no matter who you are.
Now don't worry about it. I'm not an outlaw. Take off your wet clothes. While they dry and you eat, we'll talk.
Thanks.
Did you have a horse?
I tethered it under a nearby ledge when I saw the cabin.
You're an Easterner?
I grew up in Boston, but Tuckerville's my birthplace. I'm bound there.
You're off the main trail. The old diggings around here make travel dangerous, even by daylight.
They must be the mines where my father was killed in an accident 20 years ago. I don't remember him. My mother, who died recently, never told me much about him. I'm curious about their early years and mine.
Is that why you're out here?
It's one reason, mister. Another is that I'm just out of law school. I hope to open an office in Tuckerville. My name's Gene Walker.
Well, Gene, I wish you luck. Tomorrow we'll see that you reach your destination.
That same night, gray-haired and dignified Silas Tucker, judge of the circuit court and founder of the town which bore his name, conferred with Malachi Barr, head of the People's Bank.
Judge, it will strain the resources of the bank if you withdraw all of your big special account at this time.
But, Mal, it won't wreck the bank, will it?
We'll make the money available, but I fail to see the necessity for your action. I never figured you'd need it all on short notice.
Mal, I think I'd better tell you the story of that special account of mine.
Story?
Yes. Years ago, I was the head of the vigilantes in this town. I studied law, so the Vigilance Committee made me judge of its proceedings. One day, they brought before me a young Texan, David Walker, better known as Reb. A lot of men hated him because he was handsome, hot-tempered, boastful, quick on the trigger, and had served in the Confederate Army.
I know how they felt about every Texan.
Well, nothing criminal had ever been found against him until he shot Steve Juergens, who kept a cafe and was very popular. Vigilantes seized Reb, charged him with murder, and found him guilty. I'll never forget how he looked when he came before me in court.
Prisoner, before I pass sentence, have you anything to say for yourself?
Judge, I'm not guilty. But I know I've got to swing. I'd like to make just one request.
I'll honor any request within reason. What is it?
I got a wife and little boy at my cabin in the diggings. I've written a bill of sale to my claim. Here it is. It's yours. If you'll tell them I was killed in an accident and send them east before they find out different.
I promise, Reb. Boys, take him away.
Reb Walker was hanged. And Steve Juergens, in spite of his wounds, has lived to become one of the worst scoundrels who ever went unhanged. He runs the Pastry Cafe. He's mixed up in all kinds of crooked deals.
I hold some big notes against him, secured by all he owns.
Well, years after the vigilantes disbanded and it was safe to talk, Juergens bragged that he had started the quarrel and was the first to draw.
Well, of all things.
The income from Reb's claim explains the special deposit.
So that's why you had me send monthly allotments to those attorneys. They paid it over to the family.
Yes, yes. Now Mrs. Walker is dead, and the boy is supposed to finish a law course this spring. I want him to receive the rest of the account as a graduation gift.
Judge, I know how you feel. You'll get the money at once, though I'll have to force payment on some loans.
But don't ruin anyone.
If it ruins Juergens, that will only be justice.
Yes, so it will.
Then I'll make him pay.
The next day, Soapy Hall, a professional confidence man who had helped Juergens promote the so-called mining company, joined the cafe owner in the office.
Soapy, that old Malachi Barr has ordered me to pay up pronto.
What? I thought you said he'd renew your notes.
Well, he always did before. We wouldn't be in this hole if it hadn't taken so much cash to bribe those politicians into letting us incorporate a mining company.
Well, can't we put the banker off for a couple of months? By that time, the mining stock will be floated. And we'll be on our way to making a million. We can buy his bank.
And he won't wait. I've put up everything I've got to my name as security, even that worthless mining property.
Yeah, then we are sunk. Did you tell him you couldn't pay?
Well, I said I'd try to raise the money. And to see him again tonight.
Wait now, maybe I have an idea. Have you got a money bag around here?
Yeah, a couple of them, both empty.
You take one of them and stuff it with damp rags, and put a gun in it. Tonight, we'll wait till old Mal is alone in the bank, and we'll go in and tell him that he...
Meanwhile, Tonto and Gene Walker had left the masked man at a new camp close to Tuckerville and were riding into town. While the young law graduate surveyed the main street of the former mining camp, Tonto studied the false front buildings, looking for the office of the Juergens and Hall Company. He failed to locate such an establishment, but noted Juergens' name on the window of the Pastry Cafe. At the hitch rack, he pulled up.
Oh, hello, fella. Easy, fella. Well, me go into cafe. Where you go?
I'll check into the hotel. Then I've got people to see, questions to ask, and things to buy. I'm going to start in being a Westerner right away. I'll get a pair of boots, a Stetson, a gun, everything that's worn here.
Maybe me see you later. Adios.
It was night again before Gene could muster enough courage to show himself on the streets in a newly purchased outfit, which included a six-gun from which he fired a test shot in the seclusion of a ravine behind the hotel. A side door enabled him to slip out of the lodging place without being seen. Then he hastened to the bank where Malachi Barr, never one to keep conventional business hours, was still behind the cage. As Gene entered, the old banker peered over his steel-rimmed glasses and smiled.
Well, son, when did you get in from the East?
I just got in today.
That's some outfit you got on. Now, what's on your mind?
I thought maybe you could help me. That is, I need information.
Yes?
You see, I'm Gene Walker from Boston.
Walker? Boston?
I was born here, and my father died here. For years, my mother received allotments through some Boston lawyers. Money which I think came from Tuckerville.
I'm letting you inside this cage. We'll go back to the director's room where we can talk without being overheard or disturbed.
As the banker argued with the young Easterner, beating around the bush in an effort to keep him from learning the tragic secret of his father's death, Tuttle rejoined the Lone Ranger. He quickly reported what he had learned about Juergens and Hall during a long surveillance of the cafe.
Me not savvy one thing, me see.
Oh, what was that?
Well, Juergens have sack. Same as banks give stores to put money in. Him put a lot of wet rags in it. Then put him gun.
A gun?
Huh.
I've heard of that trick. The sack and rags would conceal the gun and muffle its report. Dry ones might catch fire from the powder flash, so he used wet ones.
Him call on banker tonight.
Hello? Sounds like a plan for murder. Get mounted.
Maybe we already too late.
You have to ride hard. Easy, big fellow. Come on, pull it there.
Off's count.
Son, you better take an old man's advice. Don't ask questions. What you don't know won't hurt you.
You intend well, Mr. Barr. But what you've said has made me more than ever determined to get to the bottom of this.
Now, that money... Here's somebody out front. You stay here.
I'll wait.
Well, gentlemen?
I've got the money for those notes, Mal.
Oh, so you raised it. Well, your notes are right here in this drawer. I had them out to total them.
Put the sack on the counter, Soapy.
Yeah, here it is.
Just put the notes down here, and I'll take the cash out of this sack for you.
Well, Juergens, what's the delay?
I like the feel of what's inside.
Well, I haven't got all night.
Here's the payoff.
Oh, you shot me.
You got him, Steve. Now grab those notes.
Yeah, I'll stick them in this sack and get rid of all the stuff at one time. Come on.
Oh, wait, the safe's open and full of money. We can't pass that up.
Yeah, that's so, but... Hey, someone pulled up outside.
Who is it?
I can't see. They've dismounted. We can't get that cash
now.
No,
let's clear out.
Stop, you two. Get hands up.
Oh, we're covered.
Hey, who are you? What do you want?
I'll take that sack.
No, you won't.
Hold on to it, Steve.
Take it.
Oh, that Juergens. You knock him out.
Watch your man. He's drawing.
Drop gun, fella.
Oh!
Me hit him.
Help!
Let him keep on running for cafe.
We'll get him later. I'll see what happened in the bank.
It's too late. Old town be after us plenty soon.
Pick up the sack. I'll hoist Juergens on the silver.
Easy, big fella.
Easy, fella.
Everybody, get me out of the mountain.
Come on,
fella. They won't stop. They shot me. They're holding Steve Juergens.
Let him have it. Come on. Shoot him.
The curtain falls on the first act of our Lone Ranger story. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a few moments. to continue our story. With the unconscious prisoner lying like a sack over Silver's saddle, the Lone Ranger and Tonto raced out of the light of the street lamps and into a dark alley, followed by a wild volley. As the hoofbeats of their gallant horses died out in the direction of the mountain, some of the citizens mounted and gave chase.
Into the bank, men, come on!
Others rushed toward the bank, boot heels clattering on the boardwalk. Meanwhile, young Walker had come out of the director's room to find the safe open and the aged banker lying on the floor. With no conception of what had happened, he knelt, frightened and confused, beside the body, half-drawing his gun as the townsman stormed through the door.
Look, one of the varmints is still in here.
Reach you, old hoot, before we rid of him.
Grab him, somebody.
We got him and his gun, too. Stand still, fella.
Let loose. I've done nothing.
Nothing, he says, and there lies old Mal.
Here comes Sheriff Clay, Doc Baker, and Soapy Hall.
Thanks, Jan. Come on.
Let him get through, boys.
Poor old Malachi. Looks bad, Sheriff.
Is he dead?
He's gone. Shot once in the region of the heart.
I told you they'd kill him. Now patch up my shoulder, Doc.
All right, Soapy.
Sheriff, here's the polecat who killed old Mal, and here's his gun.
Sheriff, that gun doesn't prove I killed anyone. I fired a test shot behind the hotel right after I bought it this afternoon.
Feller, I just placed you. You come into town today wearing Eastern clothes, and there was a redskin with you.
Well, that's true. He admits it. That ought to be enough to hang him.
I'll take the prisoner now. If he's got anything more to say, he can say it at the jail.
It's all yours, Sheriff. But you better tell Judge Tugger to get the trial over this very night, or us fellas will take the law in our own hands.
Vigilante days are over. You better stop that kind of talk. Come on, prisoner.
As the posse men chasing the Lone Ranger and Tonto thundered westward, supposing that their quarry would seek the safety of the mountains, the masked man and Indian turned off the main trail not far from town. Guiding their horses over ground on which there was little likelihood that hoof prints could be discovered in the darkness, they reached a gulch and drew rein.
Hold on. We'll dismount here. He's a big fella. Now let's put Jurgens on the ground.
They got him there. There. Think him coming, too.
Where am I? We'll ask the questions, Jurgens. I want to examine that sack first. Here, I'll light this candle.
There's nothing in that sack you fellas want. Let me up.
You stop moving, or you'll get the same medicine again.
I have a light now.
And what you find?
Bullets been fired through the sack. The gun's in it. Here, what are these?
Hey, let my private stuff alone.
Here are two notes for large sums. It's a bank loan, Jurgens. They're not marked paid.
Well, must be fellas steal them from banker and then kill him.
That's how it adds up, Tonto. Jurgens, this evidence will hang you.
Well, how we turn this fellow over to law? Everybody ready to shoot us on sight.
Now I savvy why you're hiding. They think you robbed the bank. All right, let's make a deal. I've got a lot of mine stock ready to float.
Yes, I know about that swindle.
You'll be sticking your own heads into the noose if you take me in.
We'll risk that. Tonto. Get your box of stains and dyes. I want you to fix up my face so I can wear or discard my mask as I see fit.
Me do that, Tonto. You got a plan?
No. What we do will depend on the situation in town.
Meanwhile, Sheriff Clay had been questioning Gene Walker and several witnesses in the jail office, which also served as a courtroom. Seated at a desk with him were District Attorney Sims and Bess Tucker, the judge's daughter. Educated in the East, she did paperwork in the county offices and had taken down the statements in the case. The girl was saying,
Father ought to be here any moment.
There's someone at the door now.
There he is.
What kept you, Judge?
The crowd delayed me.
What's the situation outside?
This district attorney, it's bad. Bad as it was in the old days of the mining camp and the vigilance committee. The cafes are filled with armed men. The street in front of the jail is packed.
You can't blame people for being stirred up and one good citizen been murdered and another kidnapped.
They're demanding a trial tonight. That kind of a trial would be little better than lynch law. Has the prisoner confessed?
No, but your daughter just took down a statement from him.
Father, it's as ridiculous as his clothes, but somehow it rings true with me.
Thank you, Miss Tucker.
It's good to know that you at least believe me.
Read his statement, Bess.
All right, Father. This is what he says. I am Jean Walker, 23 years old, a law graduate of...
No, no, it can't be it.
What's the matter, Father?
Judge, you look like you've seen a ghost.
A ghost? Yes, a ghost. It was just a sudden pain, Sheriff. Proceed, Bess.
All right. He says, I came to Tuckerville for the purpose of finding out what... And that's his story, gentlemen.
And it's true. Every word of it.
I know it's true. It has to be. This town is making another terrible mistake. It can't happen again.
Judge Tucker, I'm now as much prepared for trial as I'll ever be. I can defend myself. And with you on the bench, I'll at least have a fighting chance.
Yes, Father, he's right. You're his only hope.
It's a forlorn hope. But what will be, will be. Sheriff, summon the jury.
Come on, Deputy. We got to choose 12 from that pestle out there. Pick fellows that look good and true.
As preparations for a trial were being made, the Lone Ranger left Tonto to guard Jurgens and slipped into town on foot, his face obscured by a disguise. Mixing with the excited citizens, he quickly learned that young Walker had been arrested for the murder of the banker. The astounding news gave added impetus to his search for a way to get Jurgens and the evidence into the besieged jail. For a few minutes, he studied the obstacles of torches, bonfires, and solid walls of armed townsmen. Then he turned and melted into the darkness as the sheriff appeared at the jail door and shouted,
The jury's sworn and courts are sitting. You fellas wait here peaceable. I'll tell you how it's going. They've called the first witness. He's Soapy Hall. District attorney has said his say. Now it's the Easterner's turn to sound. The judge has given the jury the fine points of the law. He's the same as telling them to let the Easterner go. The jury's taking a vote. Now the foreman is getting up.
Inside the jail, Gene Walker rose to face jurymen, pale but calm. Impulsively, Bess Tucker clasped one of his hands, dropping her pencil and notepad. The judge passed a hand across his haggard face and asked,
Gentlemen of the jury, have you reached a verdict?
We sure have, Judge. That dressed-up polecat's guilty as Cain.
Oh, the verdict is guilty.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry, Gene.
Yes, your father did the best he could.
I won't accept that verdict.
Sheriff, don't tell them all that.
Mr. District Attorney, the court has your right.
Your Honor has no right to make all of us victims of the people's vengeance. Remember, you have a daughter here.
May it please the court. I'm ready to be sentenced.
No, Gene, you don't know what you're doing. There won't be any appeals or delays. The moment sentence is passed, the sheriff will take you out and hang you.
Judge, you do your duty.
Gene Walker, you, your father, and I share a terrible destiny. 20 years ago, I sentenced him to hang. What? Like you, he was innocent.
My father? You hanged him?
Yes, boy. We thought he had deliberately killed a man. That man is still alive and was to blame for the trouble. He is Steve Jurgens.
No.
It was I who sent you the money you asked the bank about. It came from the sale of a claim. It was rightfully yours because it had been your father's. The fortune is still on deposit. I couldn't tell you any of these things before, but now it doesn't matter. Now, in the name of justice, I'm about to murder an innocent man twice by murdering his son. God forgive me for what I have to do. Gene Walker, it is this sentence of this... No, I can't go on.
We got two to hang on. Here's that masked man who plugged Soapy and kidnapped Steve Jurgens. This stranger.
Hey, what did you do to my partner, you sidewinder?
I'm digging his mask off.
Look. Well, I'll be blowed.
That's Steve Jurgens.
He's the man who murdered Malachi Barr. The proof is in this sack. Look.
I'm looking.
He used the sack and rags to silence a gun. The gun to silence a banker after robbing him of those notes.
Sheriff, let me out. I'm through testifying.
Not so fast, Soapy Hall. You were with Jurgens when I shot you in the shoulder.
You shot him?
Yes, Sheriff. I was the masked man outside the bank. Now I'd like to have that mask back.
Well, sure.
The only way I could get Jurgens through that mob and into jail was to put it on him.
Judge, I'm turning state's evidence. It was Steve who pulled the trigger.
Hey, I'm talking to the district attorney about that. Well, Gene Walker, this clears you. But it's no credit to me. As soon as I see that Jurgens, the evil genius of our lives, pays for his crimes, I'm resigning.
No, Judge. We'll bury the past and work together for better law and order.
Gene, you mean you're going to stay in Tuckerville?
Bess, I have a lot of reasons for staying. And you're most of them.
Adios, Gene.
Goodbye, mister.
So you do know that masked man. I thought you said...
I didn't know he was outside the bank. I met him on the way to Tuckerville.
But who is he?
His Indian friend told me. He's the Lone Ranger.
What, the Lone Ranger?
This is a feature of The Lone Ranger Incorporated, created and produced by George W. Trendle, directed by Charles D. Livingston, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of The Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer.